Good morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Tzadi Aleph in Sanhedrin. We are catching up to where we need to be. Hopefully this morning we will make even further headway in terms of getting back to on pace. We are back on daf Tzadi Ahmed Aleph, we're at 90A, and we are about to finish to the end of the 10th parak and begin the 11th parak this morning. Let's quickly finish up the 10th parak. Amar Rabbi Abba, we have just a little bit more to go. Amar Rabbi Yochan, Bakolim Yom Lechanavi Avor, Aldivei Torah Shamalo. Let's locate each other. We're on Tzadi Ahmed Aleph. We're about 10 lines before the end of the parak. So it's about halfway down the page. It's more than halfway down the page. Rabbi Abba says the name of Rabbi Yochan, Bakolim Yom Lechanavi Avor, Aldivei Torah Shamalo. So if a Navi says to you, you know, it's time to violate the Torah, so the Braisa says, Rav Yochanan says, yeah, you listen to them. Chutz mi Avodas Kochavim. Avodas Kochavim is the exception. Now, obviously, a Navi has no right to abrogate any of the mitzvahs in the Torah. Absolutely no right. Right? But the Navi can temporarily suspend a mitzvah in the Torah. That's okay. That's acceptable. The prototype example, of course, is Eliyahu b'Har Carmel. Eliyahu on Har Carmel. So what is he doing? He's offering a carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash. It's called Shechut Echutz. It's an issur in the Torah. So occasionally, if a Navi feels it necessary, so he can suspend a mitzvah in the Torah. But when it comes to Avodah Zarah, no. The Rav Yochanan says, look, even if he's able to stop the sun mid-circuit, still you can't listen to the Navi. It's unbelievable. Navi has an ability. It's a strange question. Navi has an ability to stop a sun in the middle, and that Navi then is going to tell you, okay, guys, it's time to be over to Avodah Zarah. It's strange that he has that kind of power, and at the same time, he's telling people to be over to Avodah Zarah. Tanya, Rabbi Yosef Glul Amar, Igia Torah Sof Dato Shavodas Kochavim. Lefichach Nitna Torah Mem Shalaba. Shafilu Mam Elachachama Bem Tzarekia. Al Tishmalo. Even if he's able to stop the sun, Al Tishmalo, do not listen to him. Tanya Amar Rabbi Akiva Chas V'Shalom. Shakash Baruch Hu Mam Inchadam La'ovre Ritzono. Rabbi Akiva says it's just not possible. It's not tenable that we could have somebody who is ovre Ritzono, who violates the will of God, is imbued with that kind of power of stopping the sun. The example is a Hananya ben Azor. We discussed him yesterday. Hananya ben Azor, who was able to, who started off as being a good Navi. Remember, he was at the same time as Yirmiyahu. He was a good Navi, but then he turned to the dark side, if you will. So that's an example of somebody who is Mamed Cham, who could stop the sun in its orbit, but at the same time, later on, tells people to be over to Avodah Zarah. So, okay, that's Pshat behind Rav Yochanan. Finally, I'll quickly finish up, Zomim Bas Kohen. We talked about the Zomim of Bas Kohen. One last piece of halacha, and then we will become entrenched and enrooted in more of the Agarata / Hashkafa of the Gemara. Minan Emili Amar Rav Acha Bered Rav Ika Detanya Rav Yossi Omer Matam Alam Rav Asisam Lo Kasher Zamam Lasos La'achiv. Okay? Basic principle, we get to the beginning of Makos, and we'll get there in a couple weeks. So basic principle of Adam Zomimim, it's reciprocal. Whatever they intended, whatever they conspired to do against another person, that's what you do to them. So normally that's exactly what's going to happen. So let's say they conspire and they have allegations against somebody. Well, not allegations. They claim that they saw adultery, and it turns out that there was really no adultery and they were just standing in front of court and lying, and they're Adam Zomimim. So what do you do? I see some look. So you do to them exactly what they intended. So by the adultery case, regular case of adultery, they're looking for a capital punishment of chenek. So it bounces right back on them. Bas Kohen, however, something strange happens if they're testifying about a Bas Kohen. Because by a Bas Kohen, the daughter of a Kohen, they say that she committed adultery. She was an Arusa, she was an Nesua, Machlokas Tanayim. But she commits adultery. Torah says that she's burnt, but the man that she sleeps with is put to death through chenek. not through Sreifa. So here they are testifying about a crime that results in two different punishments, Chenek and Sreifa. So Kayos ben Bas Kohen, he besreifa, vein bola besreifa, zomamin, eino yodea im lo hukshu, im la hukshu. Which way are we going? To him or to her? So the Torah, now the Gemara says, now we'll go back to the Torah, Kishu Omer, la'asos la'achiv, la'achiv alo la'achoso. So now we're going to darshan. V'asisa lo kashir zaman la'asos la'achiv, and la'achiv and not la'achoso, to him and to her. Right? It's not a general exclusion of women, obviously. Women are also subject to capital crime. And certainly, if you have Edom Zomimim, they're going to receive the same punishment described to women. That's obviously not the point. The point is that when there are two punishments, one for him and one for her, and the separate punishments, they will follow him and not her. Okay?
So he gets a lenient.
He gets Ovizi. Just strangled. Hadron Allah Elohein Anechnakim. And that is the end of the 10th parak of Sanhedrin. Okay? And away we go. We begin this morning the 11th parak of Sanhedrin. 11th parak of Sanhedrin is going to be extraordinarily interesting. It's going to take its time, and I'm going to be doing a lot of reading. You look ahead, you see it's just pages and pages of Gemara with little Rashi, and I'm going to say no Tosfos. Yeah, I'm going to say that, and no Tosfos. So it's a lot of Agadata, and it's a lot of discussion of Olam Haba, Tchiyas HaMesim, Olam HaNeshamos, okay, things that we don't have a lot of clarity on. And okay, so you'll see, it's certainly going to be interesting, but I certainly am not going to have the answers to a lot of your questions, a lot of my own questions. Tchiyas HaMesim, resurrection of the dead. One of the most basic tenets of our religion, the Rambam in the 13th of the Ani Mamins, 13 principles of faith. So he says Tchiyas HaMesim is in there, right? You have to believe in Tchiyas HaMesim. If you don't believe in Tchiyas HaMesim, so you're missing one of the fundamentals of our religion. Okay, so let's start the Mishnah. We'll go through the Gemara again. Some of the more basic issues about how the process and how it happens and what exactly happens. You'll see the Gemara will talk about it, and we'll try to get a good picture. Everyone's got a portion in the world to come. Why are we talking about that? let's fit this in contextually into our Masechta. We have now spent half of Sanhedrin, about half, 40 blot right now, if you've been keeping score, about discussing capital punishment. Right? It started back around Nun Beis, and then from that point forward until Daf Tzadi, so we are about 40 blot, have now been discussing capital punishment. So what we have not discussed, and that's why we're going to have now an entire perek that discusses, okay, so now you're put to death, and then what? And now what happens? And so the Mishnah here tells us that you get a chelek in Olam Haba. Even though, like in other words, you did a heinous act. You murdered, you committed adultery, you're Mechal Shabbos. So you did an act that has with it a capital crime, and you were executed. But the Mishnah here tells us, okay, but you're still going to get a portion in the world to come. That's still up and coming. So Rashi over here points out, the first Rashi on the Mishnah, Mi'ikari Ayri Barba Misos Mefarish Vaza Lahu Lakulu. We go through Dalad Misos based in Vahad Mefarish Hani De Ein Laim Chelok Lam Haba. Now every one of them is going to get a portion in the world to come. There will still be some people who don't get a portion in the world to come. So that's how the Mishnah segue from Dalad Misos to our Mishnah. Shenemar. Pasuk says, Pasuk in Yeshayahu, the Amech Kulam Tzadikim Lolam Yeshu Arts, Neitzah Matai Masa Yadai Lehispa'er. Everyone is Tzadikim, everyone is going to have a Yerusha, Neitzah Matai, a branch, Masa Yadai Lehispa'er. The Elush Ein Lam Chelak Lam Abba. Now, after the Mishnah says everyone has, but you know, the rule is when there's always exceptions, right? We see that all the time. And here also, there are going to be exceptions as well. Haomer Ein Tchias HaMesim in HaTorah. There's no tchias ha-meisim in ha-Torah. There's a really important Rashi over here. Rashi says, ain't tchias ha-meisim in ha-Torah, she-kofer b'medrashim d'darshinim b'gemar l'kama, minayin l'tchias ha-meisim in ha-Torah. V'afilu, Rashi writes, v'afilu yehimode umamin, she-yichyu ha-meisim. Let's say you believe there's tchias ha-meisim, ela de lo remiza ba'araisa. You just happen to feel that, okay, I have, it's out there. The concept is out there, but it's not connected to the Torah. It's not in the Torah. Kofer hu, hova oker sheyesh, tchias ha-meisim in ha-Torah. Because what you're missing is tchias ha-meisim in ha-Torah. Tchias ha-meisim by itself is not enough. You have to be a mamen, you have to believe that there's tchias ha-meisim in ha-Torah. Malan olam unasov, v'chi mehechen hu yodea shekein hu, elkach kofer gamor. Rashi could not say it any stronger. Kofer gamor, you are a complete denier if you just say tchias ha-meisim. That's not enough. You have to say part of your emuna, your faith system, your belief system has to be tchias ha-meisim in ha-Torah. That's Rashi's very strong position over there. And it's the Mishnah. I mean, it's really the Mishnah, but Rashi puts the emphasis on the words min ha-Torah. Ha-omer ain't tchias ha-meisim in ha-Torah, v'ein Torah min ha-shamayim. Or if you say Torah is not divine, not of divine origin, the apikores. So what's that? So stay tuned because the Gemara is going to have a long discussion about what that is. Rabbi Akiva Omer, afakori b'sfarim hachitzonim. Rabbi Akiva says you engage in the reading of sfarim hachitzonim. The Gemara is going to discuss later on what are sfarim hachitzonim, some of the external works. Halochesh al hamakeh. He makes some sort of whisperings over a wound, the Omer, and here's what you say about the wound. Right? You have some sort of cut, a laceration. And that's what you whisper, that's your incantation. And it's unbelievable that that's in the same Mishnah as denying Tchias HaMeisim and denying the divine origin of the Torah. But, okay, Gemara's going to discuss that. Abashal Omer Afa Oges Hashem Be'osios, pronouncing God's name. Right, we don't pronounce God's name. We don't have the right to pronounce God's name. And pronouncing God's name is a ein lo chelek olam haba. You get stripped of olam haba. Again, the Gemara is going to discuss why that turns into such an unforgivable crime. And then a little history. Shlosh ha-malachim v'arba ha-jotas elam chelek olam haba. Three and four. Three kings, four commoners do not have a portion in olam haba. Shlosh ha-malachim, the three kings are Yeravam, Achav, and Menashe. Yeravam, the first king of the northern kingdom. Achav, right, later king, we spoke about him already at length, we'll discuss him some more. And Menashe, three extraordinarily wicked kings. Then the Tanaim have really an unbelievable machlokas about whether or not Menashe was or was not a Baal Tshuva. Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that Menashe was a Baal Tshuva. You know, it's so interesting. Why are we arguing about this? This is a historical piece of information and doesn't have relevance in our life. So it's a fascinating machlokas tanayim, which seems to be something that I don't know why it's incorporated in our body of law. And he prayed to him, and he was listened, he was received, and he placed him back on the Malchus. Amrulah, so they say back to Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yehuda is really a Das Yachid, he's a singular position over here. They say to him, he became king again. He got reinstated, his crown got reinstated, but his portion of the world to come did not get reinstated. Again, the Gemara later on will have a lengthy discussion about Menashe and his status of Olam Haba and a better understanding of what's going on over here. Heshiva Arba, I'm sorry, Olam Haba, Heshiva, sorry. Arba Hejiotos, four commoners. Bilam Doeg Achitofel Gechazi, these are the four commoners that do not have a portion in the world to come. You will note, obviously, that when listing the four, one of them is not Jewish. Correct? Right? And right, Bilam. Right. So, and
two is felt to be from Amalek. Is there Amalek?
No, he Edomi. Right. You could argue maybe converted, but Bilam we for sure know is not Jewish, right? And it's interesting because the Mishnah, the first words of the Mishnah is Kol Yisrael Yeshlem Chelak Olam Haba, and then the Mishnah ends off by identifying who doesn't get a Chelak Olam Haba, and one of those people identified is Bilam, and Bilam just simply he's not Jewish. So the Rambam points out that this Olam Haba, this concept of Olam Haba, is not limited to Jews. It's a simple deal. I mean, the Mishnah screams it out. Just, you know, we're just articulating that this idea of Olam Haba, a portion of the world to come, is not limited to Jews. It goes to non-Jews as well. The fact that we're excluding Bilam from Olam Haba means that, generally speaking, non-Jews, Chassidi Umas HaOlam, get a portion in the world to come. Okay. The Kokach Lama. Okay, so now we're going to start the Gemara, and with it now, so just fasten seatbelts, because here we go into a world of Drush and Agadita and Hashkafa, and a lot of just Jewish, I guess, philosophy. I'm not sure if that's the right word, but just how to think as a Jew. The first question the Gemara is asking is on the repercussions. You don't believe in Tchiyas HaMeisim, so right, to make this a little more dramatic. So you are a practicing Jew, and you shomer Shabbos, and you keep kosher, and you do all the things right, but you just want to have one hang up, and your hang up is not Tchiyas HaMeisim. It's ridiculous, right? It's absurd. And for that, the Mishnah says you don't get a chelek in Olam Haba. So the Gemara says, "V'kolchach lamali." What? The punishment doesn't seem to fit the crime. So the Gemara says, "Tanu kafir b'tchias ameisim l'fiachach lo yelo chelek b'tchias ameisim mida keneged mida." It's just measure for measure. Shekol midosav shal kash baruch mida keneged mida. It all goes measure for measure. The Amar of Shmuel bar Nachmini, Amar Rav Yochanan, minay shekol midosav shal kash baruch mida keneged mida. Where does that come from? Shenemar, Vayomer Elisha, Shemudvar Hashem, Ke'eth Machar, Sa'asolus B'Shekel. There was a famine, there was a great famine. And Elisha says, don't worry, tomorrow, at this time, you're going to go to the market, and for one sella, you're going to buy a saw of wheat. And for one shekel, you're going to get two saw of barley. Right, barley was half price of wheat. B'shekel b'shar shomron. You go to the marketplace in Shomron, and that's what you're gonna say. Uksiv ayana shlish asher nishan al yado es isha alokim. And there's a shlish, some sort of messenger. I don't know who the Navi's describing, but he says to Elisha the Navi, "Vayomer hine Hashem aser arvos b'shamayim hayya davar zeh." And this guy says to Elisha, "It's ridiculous. We're in the middle of a famine right now. This is not going to happen. What are you talking about?" Vayomer, and Elisha says to this guy, the shlish, "Hinach ro'a beinecha, umisham lo sochal." Yeah, you know what? It's going to happen. You're going to see it, and you're not going to eat from it. Uksiv, top of Sadim and Beis, Vayilo Cain, Vayir Mesu Oso Ha'am Bishar Vayamos. The next day there was such a frenzy in the marketplace because there was this big famine and no one was able to eat. And finally the next day, exactly as Elisha predicted, food came and there was just a frenzy in the marketplace and people were trampling one another. And this guy, this shlish, was trampled to death. So the Gemara says, "Well, wait a second. Now the point that we're trying to prove over here is that if you're not a mammon, if you don't believe in Tchiyas HaMeisim, you don't get a portion of the world to come. And we're using this story of Elisha to prove it's mida keneged mida. It's just measure for measure. That's all it is." The Gemara says, "But wait a second. Maybe this guy died just simply because he was cursed by Elisha." When a chacham curses you, so it's going to come. So it maybe has nothing to do with mida keneged mida, or his lack of belief, but just has to do with the simple fact that he was cursed by Elisha. My bishar. No. It's encoded in the Navi that it's because of his lack of belief that he was put to death. Because it says that he was trampled bishar. Bishar means in the marketplace. Al iske shar. Over the matters of the marketplace, because he didn't believe what Elisha said, so therefore he did not benefit from it. So the Gemara says it's the same thing with Tchiyas HaMeisim. If you don't believe in Tchiyas HaMeisim, so therefore you are not going to receive a portion of it. It sounds like, if you piece this puzzle together, it certainly sounds like Tchiyas HaMeisim and Olam Haba are linked with one another. Right? What I have not discussed yet, and we'll discuss later on, is the relationship between Tchiyas HaMeisim and Olam Haba. Right? If we can understand what the relationship will be. But it certainly sounds like from this little piece of Gemara, the first Gemara that comes up in the 11th parak, it sounds like they're linked with one another. Why does it sound that way? Because the point of the Mishnah is that if you say, Ein Tchiyas HaMeisim in HaTorah, so you don't get a portion of the world to come. Right? And the Gemara now is explaining this falls under the category of Mida Keneged Mida, it's measure for measure. So if it's measure for measure, so that means that your lack of belief in Tchiyas HaMeisim prevents you from getting Olam Haba. So Tchiyas HaMeisim and Olam Haba are intertwined. You want to say they're the same thing? You could say that. Some Rishonim do say that, but certainly they're intertwined. They're connected with one another. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Minan L'Tchiyas HaMeisim in HaTorah. Shenamar. Okay, so now that we know, right, and I quoted Rashi back in the Mishnah, that part of our belief system is not just Tchiyas HaMeisim, but Tchiyas HaMeisim in HaTorah, so now we have a responsibility to be able to open up a Chumash and be able to point to the place in Chumash where it's evident and clear that there's Tchiyas HaMeisim in HaTorah. So, yeah. Now Tchiyas HaMeisim in HaTorah, Shenamar. Unasati mimenu was Trumas Hashem la'Aron HaKohen. So the Gemara is going to come up with a bunch of different places, different sources. So first thing we do is turn to Parshas Korach. Parshas Korach. The Torah says, right, after the whole debate between Korach and Aaron over who has rights to be the Kohen, Aaron of course wins, Korach of course dies, and then God says, and here are the laws of Truma. While we're discussing this whole story of Kohanim and who is a Kohen. So here's the laws of Truma. And Asati Mimenu Truma Hashem La Aaron a Kohen, you give Truma to Aaron. Now you think about that pasuk for a moment and you realize, wow, that pasuk is weird. Aaron never made it into Israel. They never took off Truma and gave it to Aaron. Like what shot in that pasuk? So Vichy Aaron Lolam Kayim Valolam Nichlas Lert Yisrael Shenotzel No Truma. He never went into Israel. So the Gemara says, so here's one source of Tchiyas HaMeisim in HaTorah. How else is Aaron getting Truma? Debei Rabbi Yishmael Tana La'aron Ke'aron. So Debei Rabbi Yishmael gives a different pshat in this pasuk, right? And apparently, Debei Rabbi Yishmael will find a different source for Tchiyas HaMeisim. And what's pshat in the pasuk? Aaron is a prototype. Meaning, no, it's not the pshat. You're not going to give truma to Aaron. Aaron never gets truma. Aaron is just simply there as a model. So, Tanel Aaron ki Aaron ma Aaron chaver af banav chaverim. It has to be a Kohen, but one who's a chaver. Chaver means friend, but that's not what it means here in the context. Chaver over here means somebody who's careful about his practicing of halacha and his knowledge of halacha. Right, tam chacham. Right, someone who is committed. You cannot give Kohen Truma to a Kohen Am Haaretz. Meaning, as a Kohen, it's fine. He's a fair recipient. But because he's an Am Haaretz, an unlearned individual, so therefore, you cannot. You can't give it to him. Manas Laman Hashem. The purpose of giving them Truma is that they should be able to support Torah Hashem. So the Kohanim's purpose is Torah Hashem. Kol amachzik b'Torah Hashem yesh lo menas. V'sheinu amachzik b'Torah Hashem ein lo menas. Okay. Amar Rav Acha bar Ada, Amar Rav Yehuda. Kol nosin Truma l'Kohen Amaret ki ilu nosin l'fnei Ari. You know, giving Truma to Kohen Amaret is like giving it to a lion. Ma Ari Safik Doris Va'ochel Safik Ein Doris Va'ochel Avkona Am Haaretz Safik Ochla B'Tahara Suffolk Ochla Betuma. You have no idea. Is he eating in a state of Tahara? Is he eating in a state of Tumah? A Kohen who eats Chumah in a state of Tumah, it's Chayiv Mitzvah B'Dei Shamayim, may fall under the category of Lifnei Iver, Lositei Michshol. But you're giving him a stumbling block because he's Tameh and he just simply doesn't care. And you give him the Chumah and he eats the Chumah while in the state of Tumah, okay? Rav Yochanan Amar, let's just finish up this Kohen Amaretz. Rav Yochanan Amar, Goren Lo Misa, Shenemar Meso Bo, Ki Yichalu, you're a Goren. Right, essentially, he's saying that you're lifnei iver. Okay. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, one more. The Bei Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Tana, af masiu avon ashama. You're causing him guilt and blame. Shenem Rabbi Yisuo sam avon ashama ba'achlam es kachehem. Okay. Back to Tchias HaMesim. So we have one possible source of Tchias HaMesim, and that is Pasuk in Korach. V'nasatim imenu Chumas Hashem la'aron ha'kohen. How are you giving Aaron Chuma? Number two. Tanya of Simai Omer Minan L'Tchias HaMesim in a Torah. Shenemar v'gam ha'kimos yisbrisi itam. La'seis lahem es eretz kena'an lachem. Now, I'm sorry. Es eretz kena'an. Period. Pasuk in the beginning of Shmos. I'm going to be mekayim my bris with them, and I'm going to give them a portion in Eretz Canaan. He's talking about the Avos. He's talking about our forefathers. They're going to get a portion. Now they're long dead. We're talking now at the beginning of Parshas Ve'era, the Exodus from Egypt. The Avos are long dead. Lachem lo ne'amar ela lahem. Mikan l'tchias ha'meisim in haTorah. Okay, a second possible source of Tchias HaMesim Min HaTorah. A lot of discussion, a lot of dialogue. The Simanim, followed by what the Simanim actually mean. The Gaon, the Vilna Gaon, changes around the Simanim, right? Simanim are mnemonics. Right? We all know this. They are ways for us to help us memorize the Gemara. The Gemara was meant to Torah Shabbat Peh. Torah Shabbat Peh means you have to commit it to memory. So one good memory aid is mnemonics, right? We did that in math to help us remember orders of So Katoa. Okay, so this is mnemonics. This helps us memorize the upcoming Gemaras. So Shalu Minim is Rabbi Gamliel, Menashe Kadosh Baruch Hu Mechayim Esim. Heretics speak to Rabbi Gamliel and they say, come on, where do you come up with this idea of Tchias HaMesim? Amar Lahem, Min HaTorah, Min HaNevi'im, Min HaKesuvim. So he says, I'm going to cite you, I'm going to go 3 for 3 today. So Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. V'lo Kiblu Mimenu. And the heretics didn't accept it. Okay? Min HaTorah Dichsiv. And here's this pasuk from Torah. Oh, this is going to be interesting. Okay, Parashas Vayelech, Perek Lamed Aleph. Vayomer Hashem, right. So, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Tez Zayin. Vayom Hashem Moshe, Hinecha Shochev Im Avosecha. I'm going to read the Pasuk first, and then we'll see it inside in the Gemara. And you're going to see what Rabbi Gamliel did with this Pasuk. First, I'm reading it in the original. Vayom Hashem Moshe, Hinecha Shochev Im Avosecha. V'kam ha'am hazeh v'zana acharei Elohei nechar ha'aretz asher hu bashama b'kirbo v'azavani v'hefer es b'risi asher karati ito. Translation. God says to Moshe, you're going to die and the nation's going to get up and they're going to go after other gods and they're going to leave me and they're going to abrogate my covenant that I made with them. That's the pasuk. Okay? And what Rabbi Gamliel is going to do with this pasuk is like we see many times in the world of Drush, he's gonna shift commas. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Hincha Shochev al Mosecha v'kam. You are going to lie down with your forefathers, you're gonna die, and you're gonna get up again. V'kam. Now, I just read to you the Pasuk, that's not Pshat in the Pasuk, that's not the simple Pshat in the Pasuk. The comma belongs after the word Avosecha, not with the word v'kam. Amru lo, so you already know what the heretics are going to do with this pasuk. Amru lo v'dilma v'kama amazev v'zana min ha'navim. Dichsiv yichyu meisecha anivlasi yikumu nekitzav ranu shochnei afar. So I'm sorry, what did I just do? Vayomer, dichsiv, I skipped a line. Okay, let me do that again. Dichsiv vayomer Hashem el Moshe hincha shochev amav v'secha. Sorry, v'dilma v'kama amazev v'zana. Sorry. That's it. Okay? No. Okay. In terms of trop, the minim seem to be more correct. Okay, if I'm allowed to say that. I mean, but it's true. In other words, the word after the word avasecha, on the word avasecha, you have esnachta. So, and esnachta tells you kama. So, just in terms of trop, they're right. That's the simple pshat in the pasuk. Vayamashem Moshe incha shechev avasecha. Pause. Vekama zevezana. Okay. So, they did not accept this first pasuk of Rabbi Gamliel. Min ha-neviim dichsev. So now we're going to turn to Navi, Yishayahu. Yichyu meisecha nivlasi, kumune kitzav ranu shokhne afar, kital aros talecha ve'eretz rafeim tapil. That pasuk in Yishayahu seems very clear that it's talking about tchias ha-meisim. The pasuk says it straight out. Your dead are going to come back to life. Right. So that's very solid. V'dilma meisim she'achil yecheskel. And the minim's response to that is, look, there was one occasion historically where there was Tchias HaMeisim. But that's it. Yecheskel did resurrect the dead. But it's not going to happen again. Right? So that's a much weaker defense from their standpoint. Because really the Pasuk does say in Yeshayahu that there will be Tchias HaMeisim. And their position is, that was a historical anomaly. Never to be repeated. Next, minaksuvim dechsev shir hashirim v'chikech kayayin atov halech ledodim l'meisharim dovev sifsei yishanim. The lips of the dead are going to move. Right, a little creepy, but the lips of the dead are going to move. V'dilma rechushim achushan sifsei ba'alma. The Gemara says, okay, that doesn't mean they're going to come back to life. It could just simply mean that the lips are going to flutter. K'rav Yochanan damar av Yochanan mishom rabishom amiyahotzad kol mishan emra halacha b'shmo ba'olam hazeh. You quote somebody in this world post-mortem, after they have died, sifso sav dovavos bekever. Their lips move in the grave. I believe this is metaphoric. The idea is that they have chiyus, they have a life now, even after they died, and their lips quiver in the grave, shenamar dove sifsei shenim. Ad sha'amar lehem ikrazem. So, every one of the psukim that Rabbi Gamliel quoted the heretic dismissed, the pasuk in Parshas Vayelech, the pasuk in Yishayahu, and the pasuk in Shir Hashirim, and the heretic dismissed all three of them. Ad sha'amar lahem, but Rabbi Gamliel said this: Shenemar Asher Nishba Hashem Avasechem Laseis Lahem. Again, we go back to that word Lahem. I'm giving them a portion of Eretz Yisrael. Them meaning Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Lachem lo namar lahem. Mikan l'tchias ha-meisim in haTorah. So again, just like we pointed out a little bit earlier, that Lahem versus Lachem is a strong indication, proof that there is Tchias HaMeisim in HaTorah. V'yesho me'im min ha-mikra ha-zem. Amar lahem, v'atem ha-dvekim Hashem Elokechem, chayim kolchem hayom. You will be dovek ba-Hashem, you will cling to God, chayim kolchem hayom, all the days. Another indication, proof that there's Tchias HaMeisim, and Tchias HaMeisim is found in the Torah. Ma hayom, skip the parentheses. Ma hayom kulchem kayamim. Af la'olam haba kulchem kayamim. You're going to be kayam. Shalom Romiyim es Rabbi Yehoshua ben Chananya. The Romans asked Rabbi Yehoshua ben Chananya the following. Minayin shekadosh baruch hu mechayem esim. Again, how do you know? V'yodea ma she'asi liyos. Amar luhu tarvayu min ha-mikra hazeh shenemar. V'yomer Hashem ha-Moshe incha shochev ha-mavasecha v'kam ha-mazeh v'zana. And he quotes the same pasuk that Rabbi Gamliel quotes. That Moshe, you're going to die and you're going to get up. V'dilma v'kam ha-mazeh v'zana. So again, the Romans said the same thing that the heretics say. That's not pshat in the pasuk. The kam, the getting up, is talking about the nation. Amalu nekutu miapalga biyadaychu. Okay, good. Look, remember you asked me two questions. One about Tchias HaMeisim, the other one about God knowing the future. Okay? At least from this pasuk, it's clear God knows the future. Right? V'diodea masha ased lios. God knows the future. The Rambam in the fifth parak of Hilchos Tshuva asks the famous question, how can God know the future and we still have Bechira Chavshis? So take a look at the fifth chapter of Hilchos Tshuva, where the Rambam and the Ravid have a good old fashioned machlokas, right, in terms of how to understand this this pretty serious dilemma. How can God know the future and we still have free choice? How do I know that God is going to be Mechayim Meisim and He also knows the future? Okay. It's interesting, by the way, because although I'm sympathetic to the meaning, to the heretics who say that that's not Pshat in the Pasuk, but we find, if you've been counting, this is a third Tana who's of the opinion that that is in fact Pshat in the Pasuk, that Moshe is going to die and Moshe is going to get up. The Vekam goes to the first half of the Pasuk and not to the second half of the Pasuk. So it's, you know, it's doesn't seem to be pshat, but Tanaim take that side very strongly. Tanya Amar Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yosi, but David says Iyafti Sifrei Minim. I prove that the Sifrei Minim, the heretics' works, are mezuyaf, forfeits, the counterfeits, not forfeits, counterfeits. Shayu Omer Main Tchias Amesim in the Torah. Amartilam Ziyaftan Taraschem V'lo Elisim Yatchem Klum. Shatem Omer, you people say Ain Tchias Amesim in the Torah. The Torah says that for certain crimes, for certain Isurim of the Torah, you're going to get kares, he kares tikares, the double language, avon haba, you're going to have a sin. He kares tikares b'olam hazeh, avon haba. So the he kares tikares is for this world. You're going to be cut off from this world. Then what does it mean, avon haba, you're going to have a sin upon you? You're already cut off from this world. What does that mean? La'emas, what is that talking about? Lava olam haba. It's talking about olam haba. And the heretics were obviously taking the position that this world is it. After we die from this world, there's nothing. There's no future after that. And the avon haba is an indication that that's not true. Amalei Rapapa la'abai v'leim alehu tarvayim hikaret tikareis. So why couldn't he just simply use the words hikaret tikareis and just from that alone be evidence that he kares from this world, ti kares from the world to come? Inu have amr leg. No, because they would have said the following: Dibur Torah kolashem bnei adam. Torah speaks like we speak, right? And that argument we find throughout the Gemara all the time. Dibur Torah kolashem bnei adam, and the heretics would have said that as well. So it's the extra words in the pasuk of avon haba which gives us the indication that There's a future, there's a world to come. Kit tanai, there's a machlokis tanai, mi karet tikares, tikares b'olam hazeh, tikares b'olam haba, divrei Rabbi Akiva, amar Rabbi Yishmael, v'lo kfar namar, es Hashem u'magadeh v'nichrasa, v'chi shloshe olamim yesh. What do you mean? There are three worlds? Ela v'nichrasa b'olam hazeh, hi kares l'olam haba, hi kares tikares, divrei Torah kolashem b'nei adam. Okay. So the hikares tikares, the double language, is a machlokis between Tanayim, whether that is each word darshened or Dibur Torah. Torah just speaks like we speak. Bein Rabbi Shmuel, Bein Rabbi Kiva, Avon Haba, my Avdi Bey. Yeah, but they both already teach us that there is a world to come without getting to the words Avon Haba. What do they do with the words Avon Haba? Lechet, Detan Yachol Afilo Asa Tshuva. What if you do tshuva? Are you going to have avon haba when you do tshuva? Tamalamar, avon haba. Lo amarti ela bizmancha avon haba. As long as avon haba, so then you're not going to get a portion of the world to come. But if you do tshuva, even with kares, you're still going to get a portion in the world to come. Sha'ala Cleopatra, Malkasa es Rabbi Meir. Right? I think we've all heard of Cleopatra. Mm-hmm. Right? I get the sense, though, that it's like Paro. Like, they're all called Paro. All the queens are called Cleopatra. So I'm not sure if we can pinpoint one historically, and I'm certainly not academic enough to tell you which one lived. Oh, good. Oh, good. Even better. Okay, good. Cleopatra, Marcus says, Reb Meir, Amra, Yadana, Dechaya, Shachve, Dechziv, V'yatzitza, Meir, Ke'ez of Haaretz. So Cleopatra says, look, I know there's Tchias HaMesim. Right, that doesn't vex me at all. I'm sure about it. And she quotes, this is great, and she quotes a pasuk in Tehillim. V'yatzitzu me'ir, and they're going to sprout out from the ground, case of arts. Right? It's like we're seeds. And in fact, you'll see that analogy is exactly what she's referring to, and what the pasuk in Tehillim is referring to. We're like seeds. We're planted in the grounds after we die, and eventually we're going to sprout out, we're going to grow. And Cleopatra says, I really have one question. El kishen omdim arunim o belavushim. look, they're buried without clothing. Well, that's not really true. They have tachrichin on, but right. But are they going to be, when they come up? Are they going to come up right naked, or are they going to be clothed? It's funny. I have the question: what age are we going to come back? Right.
That's Cleopatra. What you want?
Yeah, that's right. Cleopatra probably knows. So, So he says, look, I could develop the argument based on what we know regarding a kernel of wheat. Machita shenikbara aruma yotze bekam levushim. The kernel of wheat is buried naked, meaning it's just the kernel. And nevertheless, when it grows stalks and it has leaves one over the other. And you don't see, when it grows up from the ground, you don't see the kernel anymore. It's enveloped in all of its stalks. So, tzadikim shenikbarim b'vashem achas kama v'kama. Tzadikim, how much more so? I'm like kesel ha-remen gamliya. I'm used to deshach v'chaye. Here, kesel asks the following to Remen Gamliel. It's great. You see that with Cleopatra, like, she's a religious woman. Right, she just wants to know like a detail in Tchiyas HaMeisim, but generally speaking, she's a religious woman. Right, the Kesar, right, the man, he's cold hearted. I don't even believe in this stuff. It's fantastic the contrast between men and women. I find it to be so true. I'm a Kesar LeRabbi Gamliel. You guys, I'm Risa Deshach VeChaya. You know, you people, you think that there's Tchiyas HaMeisim. So Ha'avi Afra VaAfra Mikachaya. You know, when you're buried in the ground, you basically turn to dirt. So what are you talking about? So Amra Le Barte, and if I couldn't make the point any better, the Gemara just helps me along. So the daughter of Kesar, Rashi says, right? Not the daughter of Rabbi Gamliel. The daughter of Kesar says, you know, Rabbi Gamliel, you don't have to answer my father. I'll answer my father, right? What about Kibbutz Avaim? Okay. So Amra Le Barte Shavke. Leave him alone. The ana mehadrina lay, and I'll answer my own father's question. Shnei yotzrim yesh b'irei. No, look, Dad. There are two yotzrim. There are two pottery makers in our city. Echad yotzrim enamay ve'echad yotzrim enatit. One uses just water and I don't know how to make pottery. So anyway, but one uses very weak substance. And one of them uses two. One of them uses actual clay. And the one who uses the water is mishubach. Look, the one that uses just the water is able to produce. The one who uses the tit is able to produce even more. And her point goes like this, says Rashi, that when we are created, meaning in our physical forms right now, we're created basically from liquid, right? A drop of zera, drop of semen, and that's it. And that's mayim. And yet we're formed. And you don't think that now that we're back in the ground, and now we're basically a composite of water and dirt, so you don't think we can be formed after that point as well? The Bay Rabbi Shmuel Tanaka V'chomim Mikli Zechuchis. The Academy of Rabbi Shmuel gives us another analogy. It's no different than glass. Makli zechuchis shaman beruach basav adam nishbu yeshlam takana. Look, when you make glass, you blow glass. Okay, you put your breath into the glass and you blow it, and if it breaks, you can fix it. You know, throw it back into the fire, melt it down, and fix it. Basav adam she beruchu shal kadosh baruchu alachas kama v'kama. Yeah, and we're like that as well. But we were blown by Hakadosh Baruch Hu. And so if you can fix broken glass, you can certainly fix broken people. Heretic turns to Rabbi Ami. Again, he's a non-believer. You people say that the dead are going to live. And come on, you guys are dirt after we die. How is that going to happen? Go build me a palace. And build me a palace where you don't have mayim v'afar. There's no water and there's no dirt. So he didn't have the right materials to build it, and it fell down. The palace fell down. Chazru benu osam b'makim sheyesh afar amayim. Go and build it where there's afar and mayim, where there's dirt and water. Amalo einanu yicholim. Einanu yicholim. What do you mean? We can't. The king says it's ridiculous. If you were able to build a palace where there was no water and dirt, in a place where there's water and dirt, meaning the correct raw materials to build a building, you can't build. And he says, if you think that's absurd, look, go out to the desert. And you're going to see a rodent. Shayam chetzi basar vechetzi adama. There's a rodent that's made up of flesh and dirt. In Chulin, we're going to see this. Okay, that there was some rodent that existed that was a composite of flesh and dirt. The Rambam quotes what my friend Rabbi Slifkin has to say about this. I have no idea. I'm sure he discusses this. The Rambam writes that he heard of such an animal, and he believes that it exists. So, one of our most rational people in our history is a firm believer in such an animal that's a composite of flesh and dirt. And what happens is that it converts into basar. So you see that there's such a phenomena of dirt turning into flesh. So. So stop being such an unbeliever. Shema Tamar Lizman Maruba Allah Lizman Maruba. And if you think that it takes a long time for this to happen, it's not true. Aleila Havireisha Yom Einbo Elachilazon Echad. Because you're going to go up to the top of the mountain and look down, and you'll see there's only one chilazon. Lamacha Yardu Geshamim. But next day it's going to rain. And it's Malik Kulo Chilazonos. And you're going to see a lot of chilazon all around. Now Rashi does write over here, right? There's no Tosfos. We're done with Tosfos. So when I say Rashi, you got to look on both sides, the right and left side. Look, this Rashi starts on the bottom of the right column and then goes to the top of the left column. Rashi says, I'll read it, Tola Ashiyotze Min Hayam, some sort of worm that comes up from the ocean, Ech L'Shiv Mishan, once every 70 years, V'tsovim B'damo Tcheles. And you use it to color the color tcheles, meaning the real chilazon. And you go to the top of the mountain and you see only one, and the next day you'll see a whole bunch of them. So again, the idea is that with a little bit of water coming down, the chilazon all of a sudden appears, and it's going to be the, and the mushel over here is used for tchias hamesim. Amalei hahumina. We are in the first wide line of the page. A heretic turns to Gavia ben Pesisa and he says, "Vaylachem chayave de amrisu mesi chaye." Now this is a real heretic, and he says, "You guys are a bunch of sinners, and you guys are of the belief that the dead are going to live." What a bizarre belief system you people have. De chayin mesi, de mesi chayin. Look, live people, they die. But then you concoct some sort of story that the dead people are going to come back to life again. Amar lei, so this Gavia ben Pesisa says back to the heretic, Vailachon chayave, you guys are sinners. Da'amisa meisilo chayin. De'lohavu, and here's an argument. De'lohavu chaye. Look, you have a human being starts from nothing. It's an entity that's created from nothing, and yet it comes into being. And you're fine with that. Right? That's something that you just simply accept. And dechaye, dehavu chaye, I'm sorry, delohavu chaye, dehavu chaye lo kol shekein, and the fact that now we've existed and we're going to die and we're going to come back to earth, that's crazier? That's no crazier than a human being's formation from nothing. So the heretic says, look, if there's Tchias HaMeisen and we come back to this world, I'm going to kick you so hard that I'm going to, you know, We have expressions about how hard people kick one another. Here's a great one. I'm going to kick you so hard, I'm going to straighten out your back. Right? Apparently this Gevia Pimpasisa was hunched over. I'm going to kick you so hard, I'm going to straighten your back. Amalei imata osa kein rofei uman tikra uschar harbe titol. And he gives a great answer. I really hope you do, because God, I hate being hunched over. So if you kick me and straighten me out, how much more so? That's going to be so exciting. Again, it comes back to my question of when we come back to life, right? It's almost like, again, they're just playing with one another. They're bantering with one another. So I don't know how literally you're supposed to take them, but it sounds like he's coming back still hunched over. Tana Rabbanan, the Esrim Barabba Ben Isan in Tilisu Dimusnai Mi Yehuda Mi Yerushalayim. This is Megillas Tanis, recording a whole bunch of dates along the Jewish calendar where you're not allowed to fast and you're not allowed to eulogize because great things happened to the Jews on those days. Bala Megillas Tanis, we have Megillas Tanis, by the way, we have it. And Rabbi Steinzel wrote a Gemara on Megillas Tanis. But we don't follow the dates anymore. Right, some of them we do. Chanukah, you may have heard of Chanukah, right? So that's the Megillas Tanis. So those days we follow Purim as well. But the other dates in Megillas Tanis we don't follow anymore. So I read this to you, and you're like, I never heard of this. Yeah, because we don't follow these dates. On the 24th day of Nisan, in Talasu Dim Usnei Yehuda, some statues, some idols were removed from Yehuda, Mishalayim. Ukeshabal b'nei Afrika ladonim Yisrael lefnei Alexandros Muktam. And the Africans came, and they quarreled, and they turned to Alexander the Great, literally Alexander the Original. And they said, Amru lo. Now remember, Alexander conquered the whole world, and now he was divining it. And so the Africans come, and they make a claim, and they say, Eretz Yisrael belongs to us. Wow, 2,000 years in history has not changed one iota. So, Amelo Eretz Kanan Shalanuhu, Dichtiv Eretz Kanan Legvulosa, Ukanan Avon Dehanu Inshihava. But their argument is, look, it's Eretz Kanan. You know that's us. You know we're the descendants of Kanan. So, Amelohu Gviya Ben Pesisa L'chacham Emtenuli Rishus Ha'elech V'adoni Mahem. So, Gviya Ben Pesisa says, okay, you know what? I'm going to go, and I'm going to take up the cause. I'm going to make an argument that Eretz Yisrael really belongs to us. Lefnei Alexandros Muktam. Look, and if I lose a fight, no big deal, because I'm nobody. Right? Very humble person. I'm a nobody. And so they lost to a nobody. And it's you have nothing to lose. And if I win, I'm coming with Torah. So I won't be declared the winner. Torah will be declared the winner. So it's a win-win situation. Either I'll lose the argument and I'm a nobody, or I'll win the argument and the Torah will get the credit. So where's the proof? The proof is from the Torah. Meaning that their argument is, we're descendants of Canaan, and therefore we're entitled to Eretz Yisrael. Because it is Eretz Canaan. Amar lahen, afani lo avi lachem raya ela min ha-Torah. Yeah, I'm also going to come at you with Torah. Shenemar v'yomar aru Kanan eved avadim yela echav. You know that Kanan's supposed to be slaves? Did you know that? Eved shekana nechasim, eved, sorry, lechav. Eved shekana nechasim eved lami, nechasim lami. All right, and by the way, let's just go over some.
The
lobby
of the main shul, and also the luggage for Shabbos.
I'm
going to finish
up the story. Okay, we're just going to finish up the story. So I'm sorry. So let's just go over some basic halacha. So who does when an eved gets something? So who does it go to? It goes to his master. V'lo od el shari kamashanim shaloa vadatanu. And not only that, but you know, you guys, you haven't served us for a long time. Right? It's a little strange. So Alexander says, wow, that's a great argument. Mm-hmm. He turns to these people from Africa and he says to them, do you have an answer? So Amru lo, tenu lanu zman shloshi yamim, Let's think about it. Give us 3 days to think about it. Nasal lahem zman, vadkabala matzu tshuva, miyad barchu, v'inichu sadusem kishem zuros, v'kamein kishehin nitu'os. And they ran away and they fled because they didn't have an argument, and they left fields, and the fields were laden with vineyard, grapes, and wheat. And that year happened to be a Shemitah year, great year for us to have wine and grains. Okay, we'll stop over here. We'll pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up right from this point in time. Welcome to the 11th parak of Sanhedrin. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos.